Today's daf is daf kuf beis. We're holding the top line on the Amud, where the Gemara begins. Omer Rav Kahana, the Eitzim Lahasoka Tanoihi. Now, what is this referring to? You recall back on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, we learned at the end of yesterday's daf that if you're talking about Hilchos Shmita, Hilchos Shviyas, that the Torah says the Achla Veloi Lischoira and Veloi other things, which the Gemara is going to get to shortly. So, therefore, typically, the Hilchos Shmita applies to things which are going to be eaten. What about Eitzim? Well, if you recall, the Gemara said yesterday, Ali Kanim v'Ali Gefanim, about 5 lines from the bottom of the Amid, the Gemara says that Eitzim, if you collected these Ali Kanim for purposes of wood, Ein behem mishum Kedusha Shviyas. When it comes to Eitzim, there is no Kedusha Shviyas, because Kedusha Shviyas applies to something which is eaten and not Eitzim. We'll see in a moment why Eitzim is different. And then the Gemara asked, what about the Eitzim Demashchan? Eitzim Demashchan happened to be special Eitzim. Now, why those Eitzim different than all the other Eitzim? Well, in terms of their physicality, because these were very, very fatty and oily Eitzim, and therefore people used to use them not only for burning and making Gecholim, which are charcoals, but they also used them as torches. A person who was, it was dark and he wanted to be able to see, he'd go and use these Eitzim, because since it was so fatty and so oily, it's as if you were using oil with a wick.
Like Samson with the foxes.
Okay, I guess so.
For the torches, you mean?
That yeah, didn't he
well,
do
maybe
that
maybe he, yeah, but who's to say he used that type? Maybe?
All right.
We weren't present, so it's hard to say exactly. Anyway, so what did the Gemara say? That there are, in fact, other types of Eitzim. Now, how did we get into this Eitzim thing? So the Gemara, because of Astira, said that when you talk about Achila, the Hano'o and the Bior are Shoven, which means you have Hano'o from eating, and you are consuming what you're eating at the exact same moment. So this shows you from this Gemara that people were not so worried about nutrition and nourishment, they're more concerned about having a good time eating. So
some people live to eat, some people eat to live.
Exactly. Which segment of the population would you like to be in? The former or the...
Get back to you on that.
Okay, you let us know. Okay, thank you. Anyway, the important thing is that when it comes to Achila, the Hanoah and the beer are shoven. However, when it comes to Eitzim, the Gemara said, Hanoson Achar Biuran. And you remember we asked, why is that? How could that be? And we had the Tosis down below. The Tosis said, although yes, it's true that when you're burning the Eitzim, you can be Mischamim Kinegdoi, you can warm yourself up next to the fire. You can also use it for Bishul. Mikomokim Ikroi, normally when you think of wood, and you think of it as being used as fuel for fires, the Ikr is to go and bake. And since you can only use for baking a gacheles are charcoals, so therefore, ein hanoson ubiuran shava. Pray tomorrow, what about Eitzim Demashchan? There the hanom ubiurai are shava, because if you're using it for a torch, so as it's being consumed, that's when you're having the benefit of the light, which emanates from these Eitzim Demashchan. That's what the Gemara asked. Amarova, so Rava said at the top of the Amid, stam Eitzim lahasoka hein oimdim. You're right, there are these exceptional Eitzim Demashchan. However, the Torah is giving us an objective rule, and it's telling us when it comes to Eitzim, Stam Eitzim, Ein Hanoson Ubiurin Shavin. Even though there will be people and there will be Eitzim, which will be exceptions to the rule, we do not look at your subjective use of the Eitzim, we look at the objective, normal standard of Eitzim, and Eitzim as a general rule, Ein hanoson ubiurin shava, and therefore loichal alayushvias. You see, look at the top. Rashi stam eitzim lasoka ninu, veloy lahoir hilkach eitzim ninu. These eitzim demashchan are also considered to be eitzim, or meikar loichal alayushvias. And from their inception, ab initio, when they were created, no shmita was chal on them. Even though subsequently you decide that you want to go and use it for a torch, makes no difference. No kedusha shvias. Omer Rav Kahana, Eitzim Lasoka Tanoihi. This principle that you just said, that you look at objectively at all Eitzim, that Ein Eitzim Lichal Layushvias, that's in fact the Chira Machlikis Tanoi. Deciding. Now we're not going to talk about Eitzim per se, but we're going to have a parallel situation. Desanya Ein Moisrim Peir Shvias Loila Mishra the loy likvuso. What is this referring to? So Rashi says, and I would think it's unexpected, based, of course, on my limited knowledge of laundering and limited knowledge of trying to separate the various fibers in the pishtun in flax, when you're taking flax and you're making it into linen. The way people used to do that, perhaps the way people still do it today, is you take the raw flax and you soak it and you soak it and you soak it, and after a while some of the fibers start spreading, and whatever that you don't want you can pull off, like chaff by tvua, you have by pishtun also similar things that you remove, and then now when it's nice and soft you can go and produce from that linen. However, Rashi tells us, and our Gemara tells us, that sometimes they used to go and put in wine. Why wine would be a good element for purposes of this type of softening of the flax, I don't know, but apparently that's what they did. What to me is even more perplexing is that Rashi says that sometimes for laundering garments they would put in wine. I would think that wine would make stains, but apparently it has some sort of acidic.
White wine. White wine.
Maybe it was white wine. Oh, now it's clean. Now it's clear cut. Very good. Anyway, but the point is that that's what people used to do with wine. Maybe in certain places they still do it today. Look at the Rashi, L'Toicha Mishra, about 10 lines in. Ein shoyren pishtun b'yayin shoshvias. You cannot use Shmita wine for that purpose, to go and be shoret, to soak the flax. V'chein ein mechapsim megodim. You also cannot use wine for purposes of kibus, kvisa, for laundering. Why davis choyre? Even though its pasuk says, li'ochla v'loy l'schoyre, if you have the Torah or HaSholem, v'hoyse Shabbos ha'oretz l'chem li'ochla, the Gemara Dash is the Ochla Veloy L'Schoira. Rashi uses the term Schoira very broadly, not just to refer to sales and to make business, but anything beyond Li Ochla, anything beyond actually eating, that's in that big amorphous category of Schoira. Yes, sir?
You just use the term Shemitah wine. What can you use Shemitah wine for?
Consumption.
Normally for making Havdalah and Kiddush and drinking during the week.
I thought anything from Shemitah is...
Okay, so that is a common misconception, and that is Shemitah is not like Orlu or Kilayim. Orlu, the first 3 years, you're right, Isra Achila, Isra No, zero. Kilayim, if it's mixed with another species, again, Osir. Shemitah, you are allowed to eat all Shemitah foods and all Shemitah drinks. There are two major halachas of Shemitah that are affected. You understand? So what's special about Shemitah? So number one, if you happen to own a vineyard or a field, you have to leave it hefker, because you're not allowed to go and sell those grapes or the wine during Shemitah year. It's la'achal v'lo'y l'schoyra. So you open up the gates and you pronounce, everybody and anybody, you can all come in during the year and take whatever produce you want. Therefore, it's totally mutter achila, mutter b'shtia. There is, however, a limitation, and that is, since it says in the pasuk, v'lehemtecha v'lachaya asher basodeh, tiyeh kol tevasa lechol. Leave it for the animals, even for the wild animals. And the Gemara darshins from that, that kala lechaya min hasodeh, kalei levehemtecha min habayis. Which means that at the beginning of the season, the tendency of most people would be to try to grab and to try to collect as much as possible before somebody else gets online and takes it away. The problem, however, is if you're going to go and collect all of the produce from the fields, then eventually the wild animals that are looking around to go and nibble and to eat will have nothing to eat. So therefore, kol l'chai min asada, at the time that the chai no longer has any food out there in the fields, then kalei l'vememtecha min habayis, that means in any stored food that you have at home, you have to now do what's called biur. Pasha Pshad Biur is not like Biur Chometz that you go and burn on Erev Pesach, but it means that you have to go and take it out of the home and leave it out in the fields now for the Chayis to be able to benefit from. From after that point, Zman Biur, then it becomes osir to eat from stored food that you left at home. Then it has to be Hefketul. So from, now if you're wondering, when are these Manim, these Man Biur, in Eretz Yisrael, when it comes every Shemitah, they publish a calendar with the dates. And they say, tomatoes until, potatoes until, oranges until, grapes until, etc. Anyway, so there are specific Zmani Biur. From that point on, then it becomes, yes, what would you like to say?
I'm under the impression you can't use Shemitah wine for Havdalah, because since you usually have some of it go pour over and it's le'ibud, you refrain from using Shemitah wine or Shemitah juice.
I'm sorry I used the term Havdalah.
No, I'm just,
I agree with you. You're 100% right. Anything that you're going to be ma'abed, that you're going to throw out, is problematic. You cannot go and be mavaz and ma'abed any Shemitah produce. In fact, what Barry's reminding me of is that if a person eats, for instance, an apple, and you don't like the peel of the apple, so many people peel the apple. What do you do with the peels? You usually throw them out. However, because Shemitah, some of the apple is still attached to the peel, and many people do eat the peels of apples, you got to leave it on the side until it becomes rotten, and then at that point, then you can finally dispose of it. But you can't go and throw it out because you have a problem of being ma'abed the Shemitah. You're correct. So therefore, when I said earlier that you can go and use it for Kiddush and Havdalah, I misspoke. Don't use it for Havdalah, because since by Havdalah, the minhag is to pour over, and then you have extra, and then typically that's poured out. So then you got a problem, because you're being ma'abed it, so don't use Shemitah wine for that purpose. Good. Shkoyach. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. Now, we have over here a situation where somebody wants to use the wine for either the flax, or for the kvisa, for the laundry, says the brisa, ain moisim pei shvius loy lemishva loy lekvus, and don't even think of doing that. Rabbi Yosi Omer, noisim pei shvius letoicha mishu letoicha kvusa. You are allowed to do it after all. Really? My time of the rabbanan. Amar karkus says in the pasuk li achla, like we have on the side, voice of Shabbos or zechem li achla, for consumption, for eating, for loy lemishra, not for soaking flax. And not for kvisa, for laundry. Rabbi Yosi Omer Omakra, the same pasuk says, "V'hoisa Shabbos Arz lachem liachla, lachem lachol tzurcheichem." You can use it for any need that you have. So if you have wine and your need is to go and drink the wine, because entire drink it. But if your need for the wine is to use as a laundry element, you can use it for that. Whatever you want. Now, before we continue on, this is why the Gemara is bringing this braisa for purposes of the machloikis tanoim legabi eitzim lahasaka. So Rashi explains, just like eitzim, by definition, as soon as they're starting to grow, lo ichal alayu shvias, no shvias pertains to them, even though subsequently there may be some interesting individual or some particular types of eitzim that you can go and use, like eitzim demashchan for a torch, but from the very outset, Eitzim, the standard is no Kedusha Shvias. Even if you were to go and use the Eitzim for purposes of Lahair with the Hano and the Bir Ashava, we don't look subjectively at you in particular, or even to certain Eitzim in particular. We just have one objective standard that covers everything. And now Rashi says the reverse is also true vis-a-vis the wine. Even though some people, when they plant their wine, they plant their grape seeds, they want to grow wine for purposes not of eating, but for purposes of mishra and fakusa. Since the average, normal, regular individual, the average person out there, goes and uses it for purposes of consumption for eating, so automatically, as soon as you plant it, it has the status of kedusha shvias, even though this person is not going to go and use it li'ochla. He's going to use it for other things. Sorry, sir, you cannot go and change the objective standard that the Torah tells you there. The normal, regular, reasonable person is going to go and use this for achla and not for kvusa and not for mishra. And therefore, you cannot use it for that purpose, because kedusha shvias does apply, and you're being ma'abed biyodayim that wine by putting it into the mishra or into the kvusa. So that's the Gemara shtelling to the Gemara of yesterday, of the Eitzim, to this Gemara today, legabe the wine. So now the Gemara goes a little bit further into this. Rabbanan nami haksiv lachem, what do they do with a pasuk that says lachem, which according means the chol tzarchechem, lachem domi adali achla, the mishan asan mi ura yishavin, yatsa mishan kfuzashan asan achar bi uran. I agree, lachem tells you the chol tzarchechem, but it's got to be lachem, which is domi adali achla, because the two words are right next to each other. V'hoisa Shabbos arz, lachem, liyachla. So anything which is similar to achila, no problem. However, mishra kfusa, hana osan achar bi uran. What means an asan achibiran? Says Rashi, as soon as you go and pour the wine into the washing machine or into the pishtan, you can be assured nobody is even going to think about drinking this wine anymore because it's already lost by putting it into the klusa or the mishra. When are you going to have the benefit of the wine being able to help out in both the laundry and in taking out the fibers and softening them for purposes of manufacturing linen? It's going to take at least a day or two or three. It doesn't go in 1 second. You pour in the wine. Oh, everything is beautiful. It's clean, and the pishtan now is linen. So therefore, it's hanosan acha biuron, and that's why they do not have the din of li'achla, and there is kedusha shviyas, and you cannot go and use it for these purposes in shvita. What does he do with the fact that it says li'achla, which sounds like only for achilu or something similar? You can use the wine for purposes of eating. You can use it for purposes, like Rabbi Yosi said, even for mishra, even for kvusa, but not for malugma. What means malugma? Malugma, says Rashi, is flaster. Flaster means a bandage or an ointment that you're putting on if someone has a cut or a wound. So if you want to use the wine for that purpose, that you're not allowed to use. So Kimura, why do you go and say the achla comes to exclude malugma, which is for bandaging and healing a wound? Why don't you say the achla lekvusa and not for laundry? And the Gemara could have added v'loy lemishra as well. So we already said lechem lechol tzorcheichem includes kvusa. So Gemara, harmani mekayim leachla leachem lemalugma. So we have now a ribuy and we have a miut. We have the ribuy of lechem that tells you, not just for eating and drinking, but anything. So what did I use that for? To throw in mishra and kvusa. However, on the other hand, I have a miut, li'achla. So what do I use li'achla for? Li'achla melugma. Frank Gemara. Maybe I should do the reverse and say that the riboy of lechem comes to include the malugma and the la'achla v'loy comes to exclude the kvusa and the mishra. So how do you know that it includes this and excludes that? So it's more very simple. Everybody needs to do laundry of his clothing from time to time. But not everybody needs a malugma. The only person that needs a malugma, says Rashi, is a choila, someone who is not well in the sense of that he needs this as a remedy for a wound, for a cut, for something or other. Masha'en kein, legabe kfusa, everybody needs laundry. So therefore it's more mistaver that the lechem comes to include the kfusa and the mishra, as opposed to the malugma. Kaman azo hadasanya, who's the tana of the following price? Huh? Says in the bossing liyachlo, and I dash of loy legmugma, liyachlo v'loy lezilof, liyachlo v'loy lasis, v'mena apik toizin. Now look, lugma, we already said that means someone who has a wound and needs that for a remedy. Zilof, explains Rashi, means if you have a home where things are, you could use a deodorant, and you didn't have one of those push-button things that you can go and...
air freshener.
And air freshener. Oh, that's the word of the... You don't have an air freshener. What you can do is you can go and take wine and go and spill it in mid-air and let it...
Sprinkle it.
Good. Anyway, so you can use that for ziluf, and then you have, Baruch Hashem, it really smells nice. What a lovely aroma, what lovely scent that wine has. It's really a God scent, that type of scent of the wine, and it's used by Zilof. That you cannot use the Shmita wine for. Why not? Says Rashi, because the only ones that do that is an Odom Unog Umudan. Those are the people that are fancy schmancy, finicky, royalty, aristocracy. A normal, regular person doesn't go and waste wine by spritzing it over. Ah, yes, it's not so good. It's a $15 bottle of wine, $10 bottle of wine. Why should I waste it? But those people that, money is no
urbane,
object.
Urbane individuals?
No, I don't know if they're urbane or they're rural or whatever they happen to be, whatever. Those people that feel that they need to... Yeah, exactly.
Upper usually. Crust.
Upper crust, okay. That's the Gabe Zilof. Apiktoizen. In German or Yiddish, is a brechmittel. What means a brechmittel? That means a person, unfortunately, has overeaten, or he's eaten something that he should not have eaten, and now he wants to regurgitate. So you go and take some sort of potion that induces regurgitation, to not use wine for that purpose. So therefore, that's li'achal, lo'ilam lugma, not for a remedy, for a health remedy, and not for purposes of an ear freshener, and not for purposes of inducing regurgitation. So Zukti Yomara, who is the town of this price? So Kimaim Kirbi Oisi. Rabbi Oisi is the one that said lo'achal lo'ilam lugma. However, it cannot go according to Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan said, ikanami mishru kvusa. Remember, the Rabbanan are very, very limited in what you can go and use for purposes of Shemitah. Only li'achla, li'achla v'loy le'mishra, v'loy le'kvusa. So why doesn't it add over here mishra and kvusa as well? It's a chasim, this goes according to Rabbi Yossi, and not loy to Rabbanan. Okay, new shtickle. Nukti mori etzvaitem yudah imer ima shevach yaseira al ha'hoitzo ala yitziah. Then you go and pay the Yitzir. If the Yitzir is more than a Shvach, then you go and pay the Shvach. What was it all about? You remember we had the Mishnah, Machlekes Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. A person gave Tzemer to the Tzaba, and he asked him, Mitzvoy Li Odoim, Mitzvoy Shachar, Shachar, Mitzvoy Odoim. He messed up big time. Reb Meir says, Nuisulid Meit Tzemroi, give him back the value of the original Tzemer, and Shalom on Yisrael, and that person will buy more Tzemer, and he'll go to a different Tzaba, etc. What Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it depends on Shvach Yitzir al Yitzir, or the Yitzir is Yisir al Shvach, and Yodei al HaTachtoinen. It's a machloikis of Mayan Rabbi Yehuda. So Yemora tells us a story. Now, Yosef Rav Yosef, Achoyed Rav Abba, Kamei de Rav Huna, the Yosef Rav Huna, Vika Omar. Rav Huna was giving a shir, and saying, here, Rabbi Yisai, we've now gone through the sugya, and now we can establish Halacha, Kreb Shua, Ben Karcha, V'Halacha, Kereb Yehuda. You're all wondering who is Reb Shua ben Karcha? The Gemara will address that in another moment. But that's what Rav Huna said, Reb Shua ben Karcha and Reb Yehuda. Adrinu Rav Yosef li'ape. Rav Yosef turned around after he heard this part of the shir, and you could see he was not happy with this part of the shir. And Oman, he said, I don't understand what Rav Huna is teaching us. Bishlam Reb Shua ben Karcha, itzrich. Yeah, that halacha I needed from Shuvin Karcha, because Holka Daita Chamina, Yechav Ram Halacha Kirabin. After Shuvin Karcha is arguing with the Rabbana, normally with Paschal like Rabbana, not like Shuvin Karcha, so it was necessary for Rav Huna to say, Rabbi Yisai, I have your chiddush for you, we Paschal like Shuvin Karcha. We'll see in a moment the Gabi, what halacha. Sikoashalan halacha ki yachid. However, as the Gemara will say in another couple of lines, but why did the Gemara have to go and tell us the halacha is like Reb Yehuda? I know the halacha is like Reb Yehuda, as we'll see momentarily. So first of all, who's Reb Shimon Karcha? Reb Shimon Karcha, my disciple, learned Reb Shimon Karcha, Imer, Milve Vishtare Nefroy Mehen, Milvalpe Nefroy Mehen, Neshum Matzil Miyodom. What is this all about? This is a person, a Jew, who has done business with a Gentile. And now, what was among the business? That the Jew lent money to the Gentile. And the Gentile now has to return the money. When can this take place? There's a problem of getting the funds back shortly before the non-Jewish holidays. When we say non-Jewish holidays, we mean religious holidays, like a Christian holiday, like Kratzmach, or something similar. Whether or not the Christians are considered to be not, that's beyond today's discussion. But I'm just giving you that as an example. Thank you. So Reb Shimon Karcha says, Milva Bishtar, if it's a milva that's written in a shtar, Ein Nefroi Mehen. If it's shortly before their Idayin, Rashi doesn't go into how many days, the Gemara Masechtas Avodah Zarah says up to 3 days before, don't have them pay off the loan. Why shouldn't they pay off the loan before their holiday? Because if they've paid off the loan, they feel that the financial pressure has been relieved and resolved, and then they're going to go into their churches, and they're going to be moidel avodah zarah b'yom chagam. On the day of their avodah zarah, they're going to go and say hoidu, and they're going to say hallel with a niggin, they're going to thank their God, oh, I don't have any of these financial pressures anymore. So we don't want them to do that because of us, because it's in the pasuk v'shem alhim achedim lo yishem al picha. You're not supposed to go and do anything that causes a goy to go and recite the names of his gods. For instance, if you should be careful not to do a shutfis with a goy, says the Gemara, because if you get into litigation, he might go and swear in the name of his god in the courtroom, and then again you'll be oyven the shem alhim achedim lo yishem al picha. You're going to cause that the names of idols will be recited because of you. So stay away. Anyway, so it says our Gemara, Milva Bishtar Ein Nefroi Mehen. don't go and allow them to pay off a move bishtar shortly before their chagim, so he won't be moide to his god. However, that's nefroyman, that you can. What's the difference between the move up and the move bishtar? Very simply, because the move bishtar, even if he doesn't pay off now, after the chagim are over, you'll ask him to pay it. Then I don't have any money. Well, I got a document. I have achrayas. I'm going to go and take your properties, etc. Masha'inkin, if you're talking about a move up there, you better go and collect when he's ready to pay you. Because if you're not going to collect now, he might deny it after the chag. He will be emboldened and say, prove to me that I owe you money. Where's your documents? Where's your rayas? Where's your aid? I don't have any. So therefore, you matzil miyodim, grab the funds when he's ready to go and pay, and ignore the fact that it's right before their chag. That's what Rav Shimon Karcha says. The Gemara does not quote the Rabbanan. However, the Rabbanan disagree, and they say that you're not allowed to get paid either on the Milvah Bishtar or on the Milvah Balpeh before their Chagoyes, before their holidays. So it's necessary, since it's Machlok Shimon Karcha and the Rabbanan, Ayeshekoyech Rav Huna, that you're telling us we pass Rav Shimon Karcha. El Alocha Kreb Yehuda Lomali. What do I need Alocha Kreb Yehuda? Machlek Zviyach Achstami. It's a Machlek Zviyach Achstam. In other words, in our Mishnah, it's a Machlek. And then we're going to have a Stam Mishnah in Mesechtes Bav Metzia. Explain Zimah. Machlek Zviyach Achstam, Alocha Kistam. As we know, when Rabbeinu HaKodesh was Mesad of the Mishnayos, if he put a Machlek first, and shortly thereafter he has another Mishnah, which is Stam, in other words, going and adopting the view of one of the two. The purpose of that is to say, the stakim machloik is between a man, Rabbi Yehuda. However, there's a subsequent Mishnah where I only quote Rabbi Yehuda, that's the halacha, like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Meir. So that's the purpose of machloik v'yachachsam. And that's the exact same case, that's what we're talking about over here. Where are we talking about like that? Because machloik is b'vakama in our Mishnah. And now the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Spoilly odom itzvay shachar, shachar itzvay odom. Remeir oim noisleitz demei tamre. Rabbi Yehuda oimer im ha-shevach yoisra ali. Tzia noisleitz yoisra. Tzia yoisra ha-shvach, noisleitz ha-shvach. Okay, so we have machloik. What's the Stam Mishnah? V'sasim above metzia, that none. When we get to above metzia shortly, there's going to be a Mishnah that says, kol ha-mishana yodei ala tachtoina, v'chol ha-choizer bo yodei ala tachtoina. Whoever makes a shino yodal tachtoina, whoever goes and changes his mind. The kol mishana, that's our case over here. He was mishana from shachar to odom, odom shachar, yodal tachtoina, therefore the shvach, yaser al tzitzia, yaser al shvach. Like we just said, so that mishnah pasuk is like Rabbi Yehuda. What's the kol achoizer? Why that's talking about a schira situation where you have a masker and a soicher, and the masker and the soicher make up that he's going to work on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then in the middle he decides he's not going to work. So chol achoizer by whoever changes his mind, yodal tachtoina, he has the lesser rights vis-a-vis the other person who didn't change his mind. Okay. So therefore, says Rav Yosef, Rav Huna did not need to tell us that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, because I have over here a machlekes, and the achach stam im zechz bo metzia, so we paskin like the stam. So Rav Huna, I didn't need you for that. So it's more Rav Huna, why did he go and proclaim at the end of the shir halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda? Because it's trich, you do need it. Because okadai techamina ain't say the Mishnah. Maybe the Mishnahs that we have are not necessarily in the right order. Not that they're out of order, but that there's no any particular order. And therefore, ustam yachach machloikasi. Don't look upon our Mishnah as being the first Mishnah. That's the machloikas Mishnah. And the Mishnah in Bava Metzia being the second Mishnah. Oh, it's a machloikas yachach stam. Maybe, in fact, when Rabbeinu HaKadosh was Mesad HaMishnayis, he was Mesad HaMishnayis of Bav Metzia first, and then of Bava Kama second, and therefore, really, what we're talking about is a Stam V'yachkach Machloikis. And if you have a Stam V'yachkach Machloikis, then you don't say the Alochas Kistam. If anything, it shows the opposite, that Rabbeinu Nasi is saying, the Halacha would appear to be Stam. But you should know it's not so simple. In fact, it's a machloikis.
Why would it be unclear?
She just said, if you wait one more minute, your question will be answered. Zokti Yomara, so that's the reason why Rav Huna thought that it's necessary to go and state publicly, we paskin like Rav Yehuda, because maybe they've said in the Mishnah, it's his faket. Rav Yosef, Ihochi kol machloik v'yakach stoma, neim ein tzed le Mishnah. Ustam v'yakach machloikisi. This whole rule that we have of paskening halacha based on machloek v'achkach stam, anytime you find a machloek v'achkach stam, you'll go and say, maybe the shnayis are out of order. Maybe the second mission should be first, and the first mission should be second, and it's just the opposite. Pravuna, ki'ol le'amrin, ein tzeda le'mishna, v'chod de'mesechta. When do we say ein seder l'mishnah? That could be in one mesechta, meaning in the very same mesechta, in Bava Kama, or in Brachas, in Shabbos, whatever. You could say that perhaps Perek Yud Beis really should come before Perek Yud Aleph. In fact, there are mesechtas like that where they topped it. And you have in Sanhedrin, you have in Gittin, you have a few places, Psachim, where the top toises in one of the beginnings of the Brachim says, according to our Masoira, this Perek should be right after Perek Chamishi, not before Perek Shishi, but others have it that the Prakim are Fakert. So therefore, the fact that you have a Mishnah in one Perek, and then you have a Mishnah in another Perek, could be those Prakim should really be reversed. But that's in one Mesechta. But in three Mesechta, Samrina, then Avad, you say that the Yesh say to the Mishnah, and therefore one goes after the other. Rav Yosef, Kula Nezikin, Chodem Mesechta, he says, Rav Yosef, the Gans Nezikin. Now, what means Nezikin? So there's some that learn Nezikin means all of the Masechtas in Seder Nezikin, starting from Bava Kama through Sanhedrin and through Avodah Zorah and Idias. It's all one. However, many learn that when Rabbi Yossi is referring to means the three Masechtas, Bava Kama, Matiah, Bava Basra, that's all one Nezikin. And that's the reason why it's called Bava Kama, Bava Matiah, Bava Basra, because Bava means the gates. So these are the first gates into Masechtas. Mesechtas Nezikin, then you have the middle gates, and you have the final gates, but it's really one long Mesechta. And that being the case, if it's one long Mesechta, you agree that when you have one long Mesechta, ein seder l'mishnah, and therefore, forget, when you have one Mesechta, then yes, seder l'mishnah goes in order, and therefore Rav Yossi says, I didn't need to come on to Rav Huna to go and tell me that this is, that we paskin like Rav Yehuda. Of course we paskin like Rav Yehuda, because you have Yesh Seder L'Mishnah in one Mesechta. When do you say Ein Seder L'Mishnah? Two different Mesechtas. Maybe Sanhedrin is really supposed to come before Bava Kama. Maybe Bava Kama is supposed to come before Sanhedrin. Okay, two different Mesechtas. But internally in one Mesechta, you can be sure it's all in order. V'bo yisayim ha'nucha pshat, v'shem diktoni l'gabi hilchas ha'psikta, kol m'shani yorol tachtoyna v'chalachoyiz v'yorol tachtoyna. Meaning that when you look up in Mesechta v'metzia, Rashi tells us this is approximately Daf Ayin Vav. There, the Gemara is talking about relationships between a maskir and a sakhir, between an employer and an employee. But those Mishnayis, those Gemaras are not talking about being Mishana. It's not talking about a Shinoi like we are saying over here. Yena Mishnah, however, Bein HaKadosh felt this would be a convenient time to put together boilerplate, bottom line, black letter law. So just like we're saying, if that's the case, that indicates that is in fact the halacha. Therefore, Rav Yosef says, Rav Huna, I don't need you to go and tell me that we paskin like Rav Yehuda. Of course, we paskin like Rav Yehuda because I find the hilchos psikta that it's printed together with the other halacha, published together with the other halacha as one bottom line kitzur shulchan aruch. That's the halacha. So Rav Huna shkoyech, but no thanks. Okay, on to the next shekel. Tana Rabban. Hanoisa moi fishlucha. A person gives money to his shliach. Likach loy chitin. To go and buy wheat. V'lokach mehem sarim. And instead he bought barley. Now, as Rashi immediately points out, and this is going to be very important for understanding this Gemara, we're not talking about consumer wheat or consumer barley for a person to bring home, and therefore he's going to go and mill it and make out of it challah or bread or cake or whatever. Rather, we're talking about a business enterprise, a partnership, where you have two partners. And this is similar to partnerships that you have today. One partner is the equity partner that he puts up the capital, and the other one is what they call the sweat equity. He's going to go and use that capital to hopefully produce profits. Okay, so the two, Reuven and Shimon, got together. Reuven's going to go and give the money. Shimon is going to go and buy chitin with it, wheat. And with this wheat, hopefully they're going to make a lot of money because wheat futures were going up at that time, or he expected it would go up. Or maybe he's going to go and produce challahs out of it. Whatever it is, bottom line, they're going to make a nice profit. And guess what happened? Reuven gave the money for purpose of chitin. And then Shimon took the money. And instead of buying chitin, he bought tzayir, he bought barley. Or fakert. He gave it to him to buy barley. So what happens now? One brisa says, if in fact the price went down and he, Shimon, the one that took the funds, made a poor business judgment and unfortunately a loss was incurred, he has to incur the full loss And at the end of this partnership, he has to go and refund the full capital to Reuven, who gave the capital. Who asked you to go and be Meshana? On the other hand, Moisiru, if however he had good business judgment, because Chitim in fact didn't do so well, and when he bought this Oyrim, it went sky high, then Moisiru Loi, he gets the benefit of all of the profits. Why doesn't Reuven get any profit? Because Reuven made up a partnership for Chitim and not for Oyrim. So therefore, all of both the loss as well as the gain, everything inures for the benefit or for the disbenefit or whatever, disadvantage, detriment of the agent. Good. Of Shimon. However, Tani Chodeh, but there's another price. In Pachsu, if it goes down, then it's your problem. However, if it goes up, then you have to go and split it between Reuven and Shimon together, 50-50 or whatever their deal was. Okay. So it seemed to be that there is a stira. One Mishnah says, or one Brisa says, that Hoisiru Loi, just the agent gets the benefit, the Shimon. And the other one says, no, Hoisiru Lam, so they both get the benefit. So what is the 102. The reason why we're learning Kav, Kufes, Odom Roitze, the Kav Shaloi,
Meitisha
Kav
Shalchaber. I'm safer with you, gentlemen.
You're safer with us, yeah, you're safer. You got the safer. Good, we got the part. All right. Kuf Beis on the Beis, 102.
Of course, you know the wonderful thing that happened last night.
What happened with the two hostages? Yeah. I should send many more such yeshuas in the first.
Rabbi Gettinger held a halftime shir, and then we found out right afterwards.
Because that shir? Okay, that's good to know. So next time you should have a full-time shir, then maybe we'd have four hostages instead of just two hostages.
You know?
It didn't occur to you, yeah. Okay, anyway.
He was being realistic.
Right, so we have a seer between the two braises. One says, Hoisiru, Hoisiru, Loi, just for the agent. The other says, Hoisiru, Hoisiru, Emza, both of them share. Oh, that's the machlikas that we have in our Mishnah. Rameya says that Shinui is Koina, and what happens? Then you give back the Dmei Tzemer to the original owner. The original owner has nothing to do with the Shvach. He only gets back his tzemer because, after all, the guy didn't listen to his instructions. He wanted black. He made it red. He wanted red. He made it black. So therefore, they have severed their relationship, so to speak. And the tzemer guy gets back his tzemer, but he doesn't get the benefit of either the decrease or increase in value because of the tzeba making it red or black. That was Rameya. No, Shini is not koina. And therefore, the Baal Tzemer still owns the tzemer. And therefore, he can insist, I want my tzemer back. You messed up. I'm going to pay the lesser of the two. What's the lesser of the two? Either to pay for the... If you don't mind, shall we just turn the dial down because it's making...
Dial down?
Yeah. Okay, it's good. Good, fine, good. It's making a koil ra'ash godot. Okay, anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda holds Shini Eina Koina. Since Shini Eina Koina, therefore, the money that belonged to, so in our case, of the tzemer, that's why he can demand, I want my tzemer. It's black instead of red, so I get the benefit of the lesser of the two, the hitzah or the shvach. In our case, since the capital person gave the capital to go and buy, even though the agent went and switched it from chitim to oyrim, to chitim, but he gets the benefit of the appreciation because shini ain't a koine, so he is a joint shutif in this. And of course, then the obvious question is, so why isn't he a joint shutif in the loss? Why does it say in the second braise in Pachsu Pachsu Loi, and only by the Hoisiru Hoisiru Le'emtza? The Gemara doesn't... I'm sorry?
I sent you to do a good thing for me, not a bad thing, so you know.
What is that called? L'tkuni Shedaticha Loi La'avasi. So in fact, that's the top Rashi. Rashi says on the second line, Umiyam Pachsu Pachsu Loi, the Lav La'avasi Shadrei. I only appointed you to go and do good things. I didn't appoint you to my shliach to do bad things. So therefore, if you did a good thing and the price went up and we made money, I share the profit. If it goes down, that's your headache, it's not my headache. Fine. So that's the machloikis. That's how Rabbi Yochanan understands the answer to these two prices. Maskel or Bluza? Mimai? Who said? When does Rameir say that Shinui is koina? That Stavka, if it's a consumer good, that you're buying the chitim with soirim for purposes of consumption. Or like Rashi says, you gave him the tzemer because you wanted it to be red or black. Or you gave him the eitzim because you wanted him to make a safsal or a kisei. Like all those cases that we had previously. So that's a legufe. He wants to use it for his own personal use. as the final consumer. Avlas Choyr, if you're talking about a business enterprise, Leomar, who says that Reb Meir would say that in such a case? Shinui Koinen. May you agree to Reb Yehuda? Shinui Einer Koinen, they'll share the profits alike. And therefore, Elamar Blazer, Hover Reb Meir. You don't have to say that there is a Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. They're both Reb Meir. V'leikash, kan l'achila. L'achila, when it was l'gufoy, he uses the term l'achila because we're talking about chitim and soirim. So he's the final consumer. Oh, so that's what Reb Meir said before. Shinui is Koinen. If you didn't give me back my tzemer black, because I ordered it to be black, or red, because I ordered it red, you made asvich, then I get back my tzemer. Here too, I wanted chitim, I didn't want se'orim, mister. I don't like barley bread, and nobody in my family will eat barley cake. Therefore, you bought se'orim, the se'orim are yours, give me back my money, and I want to go and buy chitim instead. That's the first price. The second price is talking about l'schoyra, that the taka had a business enterprise. And he says, buy chitim and we'll make tons of money. And he didn't buy chitim, he bought tzayrim. So if it went up, then it goes le'emtza. Even Reb Meir would agree to that, because he was only talking by achila, not by tzayrim. Fine. So we have two pshatim, therefore, and how we understand the two prices. Now the Gemara says, remember the first pshat was Reb Yochanan. And Reb Yochanan said that the second price is going according to Reb Yehuda, and the reason why Yodai, the reason why Haisir, Haisir le'emtza, you go and split it, because he holds shinui einei kainu. Machku Allah b'marava. In Marov and Eretz Yisrael, they smirked, they mocked Rabbi Yochanan. Alibed Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda of the second brisa, why did they smirk and why did they mock? V'chim yehoidir lebal chitim, shiyak nechitim lebal mois. What is he saying? He's saying is, anytime that you want to have a kinyan, you have a seller and you have a purchaser. So, it's not that automatically seller, purchaser, boom, they switch the money and they switch the chitim. There has to be a gemira stas, that the makne wants to be makne this item to the kone, to the lokeach. And lokeach, of course, wants to buy it. In our situation, says the Gemara, if you have the bala chitim, meaning the mocher, who is selling the chitim to the shliach that's buying it, if they went and switched it from chitim to se'orim, or from se'orim to chitim, the original owner who's selling it thinks that he's selling it to the shliach, but he's not really selling it to the shliach. He's really selling it to the mishaleach, or at least 50% he's selling to the mishaleach meaning the capital investor, the ones that are putting up the equity in this partnership. And that being the case, the mocher doesn't even know about that hidden, silent partner. He just knows about the fellow that's standing in front of him. So how can he go and be machnit so that ultimately the profits are going to be shared 50-50, the mocher doesn't even know that there is this hidden lekiach, so that he should go and be makna and say, yes, I'm selling it to you, Shimon, and I'm also selling 50% to Reuven. He doesn't even know that the guy exists. So therefore, how did the kinyan, how is that chal? I don't understand Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yehuda. He didn't even know of his existence. I don't understand the whole kasha of the Bnei Marava. What would be the gabe case of chitim achitim? In other words, where the shliach didn't go and change from the original order, from the original deal that he had with the mishalech. Mishalech said, I'm giving you $100, go and buy chitim. And he went and bought the chitim. He bought the chitim, he paid the money, he got the chitim. Here too, the mochen didn't know anything about the hidden capital equity investor. Does he need to know? He doesn't need to know. He just hands it over to him, and it's a good deal. You never have a question about that. If you send the shliach to go and buy food or buy whatever, that the machna says, I'm selling it to the agent, and automatically it belongs to whoever the person who funded the money. So that's the next line. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, why are you talking about only chitim and soirim? Talk about chitim and chitim. No, that's not a kasha. Like you just said. However, here you don't have a shliach shel adam kemoisai. Why don't you have a shliach shel adam kemoisai? Because he reversed or he changed what the mishaleach said to do. I sent you out to go and buy chitim, and he went and bought out se'orim. So I didn't authorize you to do se'orim. I only authorized you to do chitim. So therefore, he's not shliach shel adam kemoisai. If that's the case, freiting mara. Ask the Bnei Marava on Rabbi Yochanan, how did the original mocher know who his lekeach is going to be? He doesn't need to know. Shliach Shalom Kamoise. He is not a Shliach Shalom Kamoise because he did Behapach, the opposite of what the Mishaleach told him to do. So how could you even have a transaction? He's like the original Babas, like the Mishalech. Teida, I'll bring you a raya that that is not a concern. Why you have chitim and chitim? Dinan. What's the case of the dinan? We're going to get to the marachis atzmai a little bit later. We're going to focus at the moment on maktish nechosim. You have a person who decided one morning he woke up, he wants to be extremely generous to the Beis HaMikdash. He heard that the Beis HaMikdash is short of funds, so he said, you know what? Everything that I own, A to Z, I'm makdish, everything to the gizbar, to the Beis HaMikdash, let them use whatever they can. So the Mishnah says, everything becomes kadosh, with the exception of, ein lebiksus ishtoi, it does not include his wife's clothing, v'loi b'kusus manav, and not the children's clothing, v'loi b'tzava shetzava lishman, any tzemer that just came back from the tzava, which he wanted to be tzaveh lishman for the ishtoi or for the vanav, brand new shoes, brand new sandals, shalok kon lishmon, that he bought on their behalf from Rockport or from a competitor for them, those are not part of the hekdesh. Those, the gizbar has to leave, everything else he can take.
It's a closed issue.
It's a closed issue, very good. You said that one of the cases was that if he gave tzemer to the tzava, to the dyer, to go and dye this, he didn't tell the tzava that he's dyeing it dafka for his wife. He said, you know, take the tzemer and please make a nice sweater out of it and dye it nicely, make it red, make it blue, whatever it happens to be. And he gave it back. So the tzava had no idea that he's doing it on behalf of the wife of this person that gave him the tzemer. He might have thought that this is a man's sweater, not a lady's sweater, or whatever. It's going to be used for a man's sweater. So mi idea le tzava sheyakne tzvoy leisha. Who informed the tzaba that you should know that this tzemer is being made for the wife? He thinks that he's doing it for the husband. So if that's the case, why is this not included as part of the hegdish of all his nechasim? Elav, l'choy, what's the svara? Mishem damrin, nishlichusei ka'avit, ukiyad ishtoi dami, that he's just doing his shlichus, meaning that you have a shlich shel adam kemoisai, and the a husband is acting like the shliach on behalf of his wife, the mishaleach, and therefore when the tzaba is handing it over to the husband, if it turns out that in fact this tzemer is not intended for the husband, it's intended for the wife, no, that's fine, because shliach shel adam kemoisai, the husband represents the wife, and the tzaba is doing it for, so you see, by chitim chitim, hachanami, shlichusik avit, ukiyad balabaisam, that's not an issue. The problem only is if you make a switch from chitim sa'orim, how can the makna, the bala chitim, go and be makna the sa'orim to the bala chitim, the bala sa'orim, how can he be makna? The mishalech didn't want sa'orim, he wanted chitim. So l'choyre, the kinyan should not have been chal.
He shouldn't have told the
wool over his eyes. Oh boy. Amir Reb Abba, loikala makna shlechos, loy. He says, no, you're wrong. That is not the swara over here. You know why everything that went to the tzaba, when it comes back, it does not become hegdish because the husband said, I had in mind the isha. Because kolam makdish nechosim ain't dat el kzus ishtu yubanav. The person who's makdish is nechosim, at the moment when he said, I'm hereby makdish all of my nechosim, in the back of his mind, he was saying to himself, my nechosim, those things that will let my wife use and my children use, even though legally they might be mine, because kolam makdish kana isha kana bala, but that's not what I had in mind. It's as if he made a statement.
A carve out,
an explicit carve out. It wasn't explicit, but it's implicit that when a person is makdish, he could be makdish his own shoes and his own hosen, but he's not makdish the gowns and the dresses of his wife and those of his children. They, of course, they have to have their clothing. That he was not makdish. Okay, so nothing therefore to do with the tzabash lichusika of it, because it was in fact designated by the husband for the isha, even though it wasn't designated by the tzaba. Who cares about the tzaba? As far as the husband's concerned, the tzemer all along, when he gave it to the tzaba, was for his wife, and that was not part of the nechasim that he was makdish. So you have no raya to this chitim chitim case. Maskul Reb Zeir, chitatu shel odom al tfilov. You're telling me that automatically it's implicit that a person doesn't have in mind the ksus ishtu ubanav. Does a person have in mind his own tefillin? Utanan, in that same Masechet, in the same those Mishnayos, says a makdish nechassim, the person makdish all nechassim, malin like tefillin, that his tefillin also have to be handed over to the gizmar. The word malin doesn't mean that he picks it up. The word malin, says Rashi, means shaman, that we have to go and assess the value of the tefillin. These are expensive tefillin. Today, in today's market, of course, $2,000. What is the person going to do? He was makdish all of his nechassim. And he wants to use his tefillin. He needs his tefillin the next morning for Shacharis. What he's going to have to do, says Rashi, he's going to have to borrow $2,000 from someone, go and buy back the tefillin from the gizbar, and then he can keep the tefillin for himself, and he gives the $2,000 to the gizbar as the monetary equivalent.
Unless he's strapped for cash.
Oh, you keep on boxing us in with these witty comments. Okay, anyway.
He wanted to fill in the space.
Yeah, very good. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara tonight, so don't you see from that that even though I would have thought that a person doesn't have in mind his tefillin, it's an automatic, implicit carve out? No, it's not carved out. When you say a makdash chasav, sorry, everything is included. So therefore, the ksus ishu banim should also be included. Amalei Abayi says it's not a good sushtel. Ein dadash adam alt in stop. A person, when he's makdish kol nechassim, he even means it's really? I'll tell you why. Because a makdish nechassim is sober mitzvah kovinda. I'm doing a tremendous mitzvah. I heard that the gizbar is short of cash. They're making an emergency appeal on behalf of the Beis HaMikdash. So I'm giving away everything, even my tefillin. But not his child and not his wife's clothing. Mishom, Eva, he doesn't want it to be enmity. Doesn't want it to be any sinner, any problems in marital relations. Husband to wife, father to children. Don't touch my wife's clothing. Don't touch my children's clothes. Everything else is yours. Good. Frank Dimar. Okay, so far we focused on this Hamakdish Nechassim. I told you we're going to get back to the Echad Marachas Atzmai. Now you all know what means Marachas Atzmai, but just to remind everybody, we have in the Torah a special parasha called Erechin, or some people say Arochin, a person who says Erechi Olai or Erech Ploini Olai. Then he has to go and give a certain specific amount, which is set forth in the Torah, which is based on, number one, a person's age, and number two, a person's gender. So the average male, for instance, between the age of 30 and 50 or 60, something like that, you have to go and give, I believe, 50 shkolim. And it goes up and down as the person gets younger and older. The person doesn't get younger, but the youth typically give less until you get over the age of 50 or 60, and then it goes down again. Good. Depends on men and ladies. Fine. So a person was marachas atzmai. In other words, he said erki olai, and now he has to go and give a certain amount to the gizbar. So what's the halacha? So it says that the gizbar can come and collect and take away from him his gold watch and his silver cos and this and that to make up the 50 shkolim or whatever it is. However, he cannot go and touch the ksusbana of the ksus ishtar. Fine. So getting back to the mar. So tomorrow, v'alichayovi erchin shanu kan. We mention not only makdish nechassim but also marachas atzmai. Utanam we learn chayovi erchin mashkin oisan. Mashkin oisan means that a person that said erki olai and he does not bring the money immediately to the gizbar, within a few days the gizbar can say, no, when are you going to go and pay your pledge? Chanish kegelt, I have a CD which is going to mature in another 3 months, etc. Mashkin oisan, the gizbar can take a mashkin, he could take collateral from him so that he should pay whenever they agree that he's going to make the payment. When a person went and said, Erki Olai, did he have in mind at that time that the Giz will be able to go and take collateral from him? Avadanish. So therefore, it had nothing to do with what that person had in back of his mind. He thought yes, he thought no. We're taking away a mashkin, even though it wasn't Data Yalzen. If anything, he's not happy about the fact that somebody takes away his watch and his cuss. He's not happy at all. So the same thing over here. What are you telling me that he had in mind? He did have in mind. It's really nothing to do with what he had in mind. It's what the halacha is as far as what the gizbar can take. Elomer baba anupshat. Makdish nechosim nasa kemishik nalehen kus ishtar yubanav mei ikara. It's not based on his machshava, implicit, explicit. Any person with makdish nechosim, it's as if a second before that hakdish nechosim, he was makna anything that belonged to his wife. And to his children he said, it's yours, the ainli esik ba, ainli chedik ba, it's yours totally, both the isha and banav. So now when he's makdish lechasav, he doesn't own the ksus ishtoi ubanav. It's not because he implicitly carved it out. It's not mine. I gave it to my wife, I gave it to my kids. It's no longer mine, therefore they're not included. either in for purposes of the Hegdish.
For like an Anansadi?
Yeah, I mean, because he didn't expressly say it. It's an Anansadi, yeah, that type of thing. It's Nasik, it's not Mamish. Nasik. Person who takes a field, not in his own name, in the name of somebody else, you don't force him to go and sell. But if you told him Almanas on that condition, then you force him to sell. I don't understand a word that you just said now. What are you talking about? What is this all about? Person wants to buy a field or a property, and he's concerned that after he buys the property, that somebody, they're going to be, Rashi calls them asikin. Asikin means challengers to the title of the property. And they're going to go and say, oh, who said that you paid for it? Who says it belongs to you? And it used to belong to my brother and to my cousin and my uncle and my aunt, and I got it. It's mine. That he's going to be challenged from all sides vis-a-vis this property. So he figures, you know what? I have a bulletproof way of sending everybody away. And that is, we're going to tell the mocher, don't write it out in my name, Yankel Smith. Write it out that you're selling it to the Reish Kalusa. Reish Kalusa was the ultimate political and etc. authority. And that being the case, nobody's going to even think about challenging the Reish Kalusa. As we know from other Gemaras, the Reish Kalusa had some henchmen and people who were very scared to get close to them. So just write out the shtar to Reish Kalusa. Nobody will challenge my title to the property, because the name of the Reish Kalusa. Obviously, we have a problem. That what happens if the Reish Kalusa finds out about the Reish Kalusa?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly, I want the property. So that's good. That's the tension that we have over here. So Rav Jason, okay, come. Halakiach sodom mechaber b'shem Reish Kalusa. And the mocher did what he was told. The sofer and the mocher, they wrote into it, we're hereby selling this property to Reish Kalusa. And then after that, I, the purchaser, Yankel Smith, take my document to Reish Kalusa, and I ask, Reish Kalusa, could you do me a favor? You see that this property here in corner 91st of West End, I just bought it. I had it written out in your name, Reish Kalusa, because I wanted to make sure that nobody was going to challenge it. But you know, and I know that you didn't buy it, I bought it. So do me a favor, please go and write out a new document. I'll give you $200, pay the soifer, and write out a brand new document to me that Reish Kalusa is now selling it to me. And of course, we'll make a schweig, nobody will know about it, and therefore, Reish Kalusa. So to my enkoy for Reish Kalusa limkar, you cannot force the Reish Kalusa to go and sell it, and you may in fact have hinieches moinoy al kesef al kerenat zvi. He may have lost his pants here or lost his money.
But at least he didn't have any problem with anybody else.
Sorry, once again,
he didn't have a problem with anybody else.
Exactly. The Imamar al menas, but if he says I'm only buying it from you on the condition, what is that condition? That
the Reish Kalusa will then sell it to me.
The Reish Kalusa is going to do
it. I'm wandering it through the Reish Kalusa.
Exactly. He's going to do a back-to-back sale. And Koyven has Reish Kalusa Limkar. Then we can force the Reish Kalusa to go and sell it. Don't be nervous. I know what's bothering you. Oh, my. So that's the Pashup shot so far in that Brisa. Oh, my. We can now analyze. The Kiyasur Bishim Reish Kalusa and Koyven Oyser Reish Kalusa Limkar. Michlal is the Chmashva from this Brisa. You can't force the Reish Kalusa to go and sell it to you. However, the Kinyan was Chal. Mechlal de Makna Kanya Lay. If the Reish Kalusa refuses to go and sell, he refuses to go and sell, but you, Lamasa, bought it, and as far as the Mocher is concerned,
it's sold,
he parted with the field, and we're out of here.
It's not his problem. He takes his money and goes on vacation.
Exactly right. So we see that the Kinyan was effective, even though the Reish Kalusa didn't intend buying it, and the Mocher presumably thought that he's selling it to an agent on behalf of the Reish Kalusa. The Kinyan is Chal, and everything is great. Now, why are we bringing this Gemara? Because Lame Pleg the B'nei Rava. Maybe this argues with the name of Rava that we had at the top of the Umid, who were smirking and were critical of Rabbi Yochanan. The Amri, the idea of Baal Chitim, Shiak Nechitim, the Baal Abai is, if the Shliach is changing the story and he's not going and buying it as per the instructions of the Mishaleach, he's switching from Chitim to Oirim, to Oirim to Chitim, we said that Pachsoloi, Haisiroloi, Haisiroloi Emtsa.
Why
does the Balachitim, how does the transaction even close since the Balachitim didn't know who's the purchaser? So we say, well, we never know who the purchaser is because it could be a Shliach and a Shaleach. But if the Shliach is following the Mishaleach's instructions, Shliach Shalot and Kamoisa, like we said at the top of the Omid. However, if he's not following, so then how does the Baal HaChitim know that this is not being sold to the Shliach? It's being sold to that other third party. He doesn't know anything about it. How is the Kinyan Chal? So we see from our case here too, that the person, the purchaser, said, I'm doing it in the name of the Reish Galusa. So the Makna, the Moicha, thinks that he's selling it to the Reish Galusa. And guess what? It wasn't to the Reish Galusa. It was to Yankel Smith. So how is the Kinyan even Chal? The Makna didn't know who he was selling it to. So anyway, that's not a problem. Going to Oidel Baal Soda, in Lisadi. It's talking about there in the closing room. They closed all the doors. They said, is anybody listening?
Top secret.
I want you to know, even though we're writing in the document that this is for the Reish Galusa, it's really being sold to me. Thank you for telling me. Now I know. And he told the Edom, sorry?
It's a backroom deal.
So what's going on? Therefore, the Moicher knows that it's not really going to Reish Galusa. He knows it's going to Yankel Smith, and he's talking, going back to Yankel Smith, and everything is great. Okay. Excuse me. So therefore, thank you for your sympathy.
Sympathetic
cause. Thank you. Let's continue on to the Sefer. Okay, so you're telling me that he knows and that it's fine. So we end for the Kasha, the Gabi, the Bnei Rava. What does it say? The Sefer says, that if he told the Moicher, I'm buying it from you, but only on the condition, that the Reish Galusa is going to go and sell it to me, then the deal closes. But if he's not willing to sell it to me, then the deal doesn't close. Fetimur Amai. I don't even understand what that means. You're going to try to force the Reish Galusa, he's going to sell it to you. Filem Reish Galusa, lo yakrai chubina, filay zilus aichubina. What's the other expression? Lo mi uktsech, filay mi tufshech. I don't need, who needs you? Yankel Smith, I don't know you. Don't bother me. Go and bother your moicha, figure out another etza, but don't get me involved. I don't need that you should go and put my name in the document, Rashi says, to instill ema, fear and trepidation on third parties that they shouldn't go and challenge this sale. And I don't need you to be mezalzel in me to go and force me to go and sell properties I don't even know of their existence. Because you made a condition, I have to go and sell the property to you. Don't bother me. If you bother me one more time, I'm going to send you to jail. Get out of here. So how can you go and force the Reish Galusa Limkar? Elam Abaye. Abaye says, of course, you're 100% right. That doesn't make sense. I know the Reish Galusa is in parentheses, but you see Rashi is Goyris Reish Galusa. Reish Galusa. He's buying the property in the name of the Reish Galusa. After the closing is over, if the Lokeach goes to the Moicher and he says to the Moicher, you know, I told you in the closing room, it was a backroom deal, as you said, I told you that this is on behalf of the Reish Galusa, and thank you, the closing is closed, I paid you the money, and I have the property, Shkoyach, I want you to do me a favor now. What's the favor? I'm going to give you another $200, I want you to go and write out a brand new shtar that you're writing it to me, and not to the Reish Galusa, so that if anybody challenges, you know, if I have a problem, the Reish Galusa will challenge. I have my shtar from you.
But the date on the shtar of the
Reish Galusa doesn't go into those details. He's just telling him, I want you to go and write out a separate shtar. Okay. Now this is already after the Mechir is over.
Right.
Then the Mechir go and say, Mr. Go fly a kite, I got my money, Dubai. Sayonara, I'm going on vacation, as you said. However, if they made up Almanas, that during the
original
negotiations,
closing,
he said to him, Mr., I want you to give me two deeds,
right.
One deed written out to the Reish Galusa, and one deed written out to me, then you can go and force him to do it, because that was a stipulation, a condition in the transaction. We'll stop over here,
but it's not the same, it's not all fours, because here,